When I think about desire from mental schema, from a cognitive understanding, it's often this thought that comes in that's like, oh, I really like this, and I would really enjoy doing this, and this really makes sense. Yet when you really drop into your body and you feel a desire for something, it may start as like you see something, you read something, you talk to someone, and so you have this thought that's like, I really want to do this. But how you know that that's true is, do you get the physical sensations, the body feedback loop that is telling you that you're onto something?
I'm Sonia Statman, and you're listening to The Feminine Lens. Over the last 20 years, I've had the honor to work with thousands of women around the globe in self-development, in leadership, and in business. Being in the trenches with women has taught me that we have to stop seeing ourselves and the world through the patriarchal lens. I've spent my life helping women look through a new lens, a feminine lens, a lens that honors our innate worth and wisdom, a lens that empowers us with more wealth and freedom. The Feminine Lens is designed to challenge you. It will change what you think and what you know, but it will help you reclaim yourself. And that is the way we change the world. Ready? Let's do this. Hi, and welcome back to The Feminine Lens. Today, I'm joined by my regular co-host here and there, at least once a month, Laura Shook Guzman. She is a somatic psychotherapist, and kind of our resident mental health professional. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Sonia. Thank you for that introduction. I'll take it. I mean, you know how much I love talking about mental health and how that relates specifically to women, leaders, entrepreneurs, and just like the broader scope of what it's like to be mentally well, right, as human beings.
100%. And this month and every month going forward, we are kind of rooting the Feminine Lens episodes into one topic so that we have sort of a monthly topic. And this month, last week, I talked a little bit about this month's topic in my solo episodes. If you missed that, it's a good foundational piece to go back to. But we are going to talk a little bit about desire and vision. I think January is one of those months where everybody comes back on board and they're like, okay, what am I going to do this year? What am I going to do? And it's a great time to get sort of rooted back in what we really want and how do we go about achieving those goals. And so I think desire is an important place to start. And I thought it would be cool to kind of explore it from a psychological perspective as well.
This is a good one. And I love that you use the word rooted, because I think that what a lot of people do in the beginning of a year, it's a marker for new beginnings. It gives people permission, you know, to get clear about what they want and to make plans for the coming year. And yet what often happens is that people get locked into the mental schema and into the cognitive understanding of what it is that they desire, what it is that they want, you know, and they start analyzing it and thinking about it. And yet rooted would mean that we would drop down from the mental space into the body, and we would root into more of the energetic body and into the grounded body to really see what is true, you know, where does desire in me come from? And how do I root into it before I might pull out? Because I'm a big fan of mapping and vision boards and, you know, getting creative and then, mentally analyzing it. But I want us to talk about the root comes from us, from our energetic being, what it means for us to feel desire.
Yes. And it's so interesting. I mean, I do a lot of this foundational work around desire in my coaching program. And it's really interesting when women start to look at this idea of desire.
I think we take that word for granted. You know, we have desires, and we even sometimes are shamed about desire, right? Desire is like this negative thing. Oh, well, I shouldn't really go for my desires. Otherwise, I'm going to be a lazy person. I'm going to be a stupid person. I'm going to be like, you know, not having impact. If I really gave into my desires, I would just be sitting on a beach, right? Like, it's really interesting the way that we have framed desire. And yet desire is like our core creation energy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And there is a parallel there about, you know, how much we really understand about desire, and in psychology, how much we really understand about the body. Because when you look at somatic psychology, it's really just been in the past 30 to 40 years that there's been more, I'd say, modern understandings. Yes, in the 1800s, there were certain, you know, conversations around the importance of the psyche and the body. But really, it's just been within my career lifetime that there's been a deeper dive into understanding what is desire, what does desire come from. And I think for women, it's then, oh, can I talk about my desire? And what does that really mean? Because for so long, it was either kind of this thing that was shamed or just not even talked about. So I think that's interesting in our conversation. I just want to name, like, the body is also kind of new to discovery for many women to inhabit and understand their body and the psychology of the body. And then to also then be able to talk about their desire and what moves them and what excites and motivates their creation.
Yeah. And so, you know, it'd be cool to talk about what your and my experience is with desire in ourselves, right? Because I don't think a lot of people even talk about what the sensation feels like, what it looks like, and what's the difference between a mental desire and like a core desire, a gut desire, a body desire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, recently I actually was reminded of what it felt like in my body to really feel the desire to create. And so when I think about desire from mental schema, from a cognitive understanding, it's often this thought that comes in. It's like, oh, I really like this, and I would really enjoy doing this, and this really makes sense, right? A lot of wording there around it would make sense. And it, you know, it's what I like to do. Yet when you really drop into your body and you feel a desire for something, it may start as like you see something, you read something, you talk to someone. And so you have this thought that's like, I really want to do this. But how you know that that's true is, do you get the physical sensations, the body feedback loop that is telling you that you're onto something? And the way that that looks for me, and I think, and I've also heard this from my clients, is desire is usually a very energetic presence, and your heart rate will increase, and you'll often get some like a tingly feeling. And that's why people say, oh my goodness, that gives me chills. That gives me chills when you say that. You know, people will say that when they are seeing something that they desire, or thinking about taking their life or their business into a place that they desire. There's this literal, energetic feeling of energy moving, and then the heart rate increases. And I actually describe it in my body, there's a giddiness. It's like a kid on, you know, Christmas morning, or this like excitement that I'm about to, and this is in my creative work. I think like when I feel like a desire to really create something, I can feel all of that movement. And I just kind of want to dance in my body, and I want to get up, and I literally will get up and pace the room when I'm really excited about something I'm desiring to do or create.
I love that. And I think, you know, the reason I think this is so beneficial for Laura and I just talk about our own experiences is because everyone has different body sensations. You know, there can be kind of general explanations or general guidelines, general ideas, but you've got a sense where that sensation is in you. And so like for me, when I really feel a core desire, there's an expansion, right? It is absolutely energetic. And there is like an openness, an open energetic, an expansion. So that's how I kind of tell the difference between that and something I think I want, but it's more mental. Oftentimes I'll feel constricted. I'll be worried or stressed about how to do it. I'll be thinking, this is what I should do. And that feels like a more constrictive energy in my body. But when I feel a core desire, I feel so much openness. It's almost like it's that open possibility, right? There's like, it's unended. It's not fully defined. That's what I find for my real desire. I won't know how to create it. I won't even know fully what the end point is. And I also think the other really key thing or really interesting thing for myself is that my core desires are not specific, right? So they're not like, my core desire is to have this many clients and this much money and this, that. Like, it isn't what the core desire is. The core desire is something like freedom, or maybe it's stabilizing, you know, or maybe it's grounded. Like, my core desires are much more broad and open.
Yeah, yes. And even the words that you used are more somatically based. They're more like sensation descriptors and less of the cognitive meaning descriptor. And I love that, because really what's going to come of it, like the, you know, clients looking like this, or my dream house looking like this, or my relationship looking like this, all of that is coming as a secondary response to you getting in touch with that desire. Those are, you know, reflections. And so they are not the core desire. They're the way in which the core desire that you're following, that you're pursuing, is going to be showing up for you in the world. And that feeling of expansion is always something to look for in the body. When the body takes spontaneous deep breaths, when the body feels present, when the body feels at home in itself and expanded. Those are good, very good signs and sensations to pay attention to, because that means the body is in a very, usually it means the body feels safe. The body feels like there's freedom and there's permission, space to move. And so sometimes you may actually stumble upon something that is a core desire by noticing the body first. And saying, gosh, what am I actually thinking about right now? What am I imagining right now that is having this response for me in my physical body?
Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting, because sometimes you stumble upon it. Sometimes it unfolds. Like, I like that word, because it, you know, oftentimes my core desires will kind of unfold. They won't be so like concrete. They won't necessarily go when I want them to go, or come to me when I want them to come to me. They kind of unfold over time. And sometimes they drop in. Like, sometimes as I'm exploring what I want to create, as I'm asking myself what my desire is, sometimes they land. And I think that's a good descriptive word for it as well. And I also sometimes explore core desire as like our impulse, right? Like, I think we're born with a core desire, and it's like an impulse. It's like, it's always pulling us, like not like we think of a pull, like an obsession, not like our phone pulls us, right? But like this, like soft, always like moving pull towards something. And when I've done a lot of work in the past around like purpose with my clients or with the people that I've worked with, you know, oftentimes what we look at is what their core desire is. And it's something they've always done. They've always wanted to do. It's something they just do automatically. They don't even think about it. What do you think about that, Laura?
Yeah, it's interesting you said that, because I was thinking, you know, this kind of can be connected to what Sonia calls our impulses, because I know that that's how you help your clients often get back to basics around, you know, what is it that's their gift? Because people show up and say, I think I'm supposed to, you know, feel like I have a calling, but I don't know what it is. And I don't really know where to direct my energy. And this, most people would invite them to reflect on, well, what's your why? What's your meaning? And under that would be, what is that core desire that you have in the world? And often I think there is a link to what we innately find ourselves doing, what feels just a natural state, or we feel like we're kind of just always have the impulse to do that. That is coming, that impulse is driven by a core desire. you know, in that podcast on business in the, you know, in the women in the business arena where you and I spoke about impulse, I think that you asked me, you know, what was one of mine. And the one that came to mind is my impulse to gather, my impulse to create community, a sense of belonging. And I would have a very visceral reaction in my body when I would notice people outside of the circle, like somehow that they weren't included. And I would literally have to stop whatever I was doing and go connect with that person and be like, yes, so let's get you over here. And so that's really interesting. And I and my teachers in first grade, you know, talked about that with my mom and dad and noticed that I was a little bit of a gatherer. I would just bring everyone into the, keep the herd together. And so it's interesting that I find myself now as a community builder. I find myself as a psychotherapist very interested in connection, both with ourselves and with others. And that I have this belief that we must connect deeply within ourselves to therefore connect with other people. So if you just kind of look at this experience and this feeling that I have had just impulsively since I was small, then there becomes a thread. And what I think is beautiful is as we age, we recognize it more quickly. Yes, right? So we might have some young, you know, some young listeners that might be like, I don't know exactly what they're talking about. But I will say I started noticing mine more consciously in college, core desire, because in college was when I was really like, what do I want to do? How am I going to make a difference? What is my career trajectory? And I can remember certain moments and I would just have this feeling in my body that I had an impulse to do something or that there was this core desire and I started to recognize it. And even now at 45, I can remember that 25-year-old girl and kind of how she felt on the campus of my college and how I can feel some of that even now. So, I think it gets better with age.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I like exploring the idea of a core desire or impulse over your why, right? Because so many people are really into the know your why, blah, 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 but it's cerebral, right? We define, we take maybe our core impulse, maybe something else someone else told us to value, and we make it our why. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the women I've worked with, what ends up happening is they often come into my program with a why, right? They've got a why, they understand their why, this is their why. But it isn't until like a year after they're working with me that their real why drops in, that their real impulse drops in. And it's just magical. Like when that happens, when there is this resonating life purpose, understanding of what they're here to do that lands, it changes everything. It changes their business. It changes their leadership. It changes how they operate with their family, changes how they operate in their life. And it's deeper, right? It's like more embodied, it's more grounded, and it's really important place to create from. Whereas when we create from a higher level, from a mental level, oftentimes we can create the wrong things. I know that, you know, just like you, I've had all these interesting threads in my life that have kind of showed me or illustrated what my core impulse is, which is really about congruity. And so for me, it is like, I notice when people are incongruent with themselves, right? I notice when people are being incongruent in their language and what they actually feel in their body. I notice in myself when I'm incongruent, when I'm operating in a different way than the way I feel. And it's all like, I'm always impulsively wanting to create congruency. It's like, you know, and I will speak up if something's incongruent, and even did that as a child. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. You know, when we're talking about life purpose or core desire, it's not like my core desire is to be a coach, right? Or to even be a teacher or a speaker or a podcast host. I've taken that core desire of congruity and I've like filtered it into all of these things that I do. But the core desire is congruence.
Yeah. Yes. And it's such a good point that when we think of the why am I here? Why am I creating? Then we can really get stuck in the cerebral, you know, space and not really feel the layers underneath that. But why do you have that why? You know, but, and you think about common whys. I know, you know, in leadership or entrepreneurship, you know, it's like, oh, well, I have this why to make a difference, to help this, to provide this kinds of support. But what's more interesting is, but why? Why is it yours? Why is it yours to do? Why does that compel you? Why do you feel so driven that you will put everything out there to see this happen in the world, to see this solution come to fruition? Why is that important to you? And this is actually common in the therapeutic context, because when people come into therapy, they will, you know, and I will ask on the intake, you know, what are your goals for therapy? What are your presenting symptoms? Like, why are you here? Right? Why are you here? And they're really quick to give me the very cerebral, you know, well, because my relationships, or I haven't found the right person, or I'm feeling some conflict, or I have stress, you know. But as we move through the work, then it becomes really clear that the why, there's a desire to be more congruent, or desire to feel more freedom, or desire to be more authentic, or desire to feel like they are more deeply connected to themselves. But those are not often the things that I see on the intake sheet. You know, it's more of the meaning making they're trying to make, and not the core desire that they're yet connected to.
Yes, I love that. And I think it's because we have not been taught how to access what we actually feel, right? Or our sensations or desire. I mean, the only reference point I had to desire before the work of me really diving in to understand what I want that to mean, what I think that means, the only sort of, you know, growing up, the reference point for desire was like sexual, right? Like it was like, you know, desire is when you want someone else. Like that was my reference point, right? And I was thinking, oh, like, you know, I don't know how I feel about desire. But you know, I think that is a really interesting thing, is that no one ever talked to me about what I desire, right? And they might ask me what I want, but even then it's like, there's no feeling to that. What do you want? I don't know. Like, I want water right now. Like, I want to, you know, go get something to eat. I want, you know, but like, what do you desire? It has like a whole different feeling. It's so funny because it really reminds me of that show Lucifer, where he goes and says, what do you desire? You know, but I think, you know, it's interesting because like we really do have these core desires, but we've never been taught to access them, to reflect on them, to create from them, to use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, desire feels indulgent for many people.
Right? So ridiculous. It's like, it's the core of our creative power, and yet it feels like an indulgence.
Yeah. And in this, you know, a culture, I think there's the influence of the Puritan mindset of just, you know, things being very utilitarian, and desire is not something that fits into that context. So it's extra.
Yeah.
Right? And yet, like, we are animal bodies. We have desire and we have needs and wants that go beyond any kind of utilitarian of just like, well, this makes sense. And I think that that's what's actually one of the beautiful things about being human, you know, being a human being, is that we have desire that really motivates us and creates elicits behavior in us that go beyond sometimes what we expect of ourselves or those around us. So desire is a fueling energy. It's a very motivating emotion and sensation. And that is definitely like what we're talking about, just kind of pull back, is that we're talking about desire having all of these, it's multifaceted. So it has the embodied experience. How do you know that you feel desire? Where do you feel that in your body? That's the sensation. What is the sensation of desire for you? And then the next layer is, what is the meaning? Like, what do you think of desire? So we have the body's idea of it, and then we have the cognitive idea of what is desire, right? But we have to understand that most of us are coming at desire from this cognitive place, and we're missing this whole other element, you know, of what really desire is all about.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I think some people then equate, you know, both the body and desire with a physical sense, right? Like a physical desire. We do have physical desires, right? I want to eat. I want to drink. I want to procreate, right? Like we have these kind of like biological, physical desires, but desire is also very spiritual. And that's where I think we've disconnected from it. And the body is also spiritual. And we've disconnected that as well. And so, you know, we're talking about a much deeper level of understanding your body and understanding desire.
Yeah, yeah. And it's unfortunate that we do live in a culture that has divided the mind from the body, from spirit. So we don't really think about mind, body, spirit being all encompassing. It's like, well, here's the mind. And then maybe we'll acknowledge the body. And then last of all is acknowledging the spirit. And that's what I'm noticing in the field of psychology. Like I said, it's just been in the last 30, 40 years that we've seen such an increase in awareness around what it means to be to have trauma in the body, what it means to have a body, how we bring the body into psychology. And yet, you know, there's so much more that we still have to understand and that we have to explore around, yeah, these things that we've just put in boxes and we've just kind of thought of it. I feel just we've thought of it in a more flat and a less nuanced way.
Yes. Okay. So now I want to explore a little bit about why desire is important for our vision, for our goals, for what we're creating in the world. Why do we need to focus on desire first? What's your perspective on that?
Why do we need to focus on desire first? Yeah. So if we don't have connection to the desire, then like you said, we're not connecting to an impulse. We're not connecting to the energetic source. And we're going to be more likely to be incongruent, to use your words,
yes,
to kind of miss the mark if we skip this understanding of the desire and go straight into execution or straight into vision even, right? And, you know, imagery is very common for a lot of therapists now to use imagery to help clients connect to their consciousness, something that's an emerging conscious. You know, it's like, okay, I have this emotion. Now I need to bring it into imagery. So imagery is really important, but if we don't root down into what am I feeling, what am I thinking, and then what am I imagining, then we're really not going to have, in my opinion, as rich or as accurate of a end result, right? That reflection is not going to be as rich.
Totally. And we're not going to necessarily be able to create it, right? This is what I see with people who are creating their vision, creating their goals. It's disconnected to their desire. It's disconnected to their body and sensation. But when we are rooted in our desire, we are so more easily able to create whatever we want. We're able to get through blocks. We're able to be, you know, in the sustainable process of creation so that even when hard things hit or unknowns hit or we don't know how to do something, the energetics of that desire pulls us through. And I think that's something we don't talk about. We create something from our head. And I see this a lot, you know, in working with my group and my clients is, you know, they come up with goals. And then I'm like, but how do you feel about those goals? Like, where do you feel that in your body? Is that connected to your core desire? And so sometimes it's not. And therefore, they're in opposition with themselves because the core impulse and desire is always there. Like, we're not creating the desire. The desire is there. I don't know how it gets there. That's, you know, beyond my understanding. But like, what I've learned is that these core desires are there. And when we create in our head without connecting to that desire, oftentimes, like you said, we're incongruent and we're actually battling ourselves. So we're trying to create a goal physically that internally and energetically we're repulsed at, we're rejecting, we want to move in the opposite direction. And I can see this, like, for instance, sometimes with money. A lot of times, you know, especially in my business course, people will create goals around money. Absolutely wonderful. Nothing's wrong with that. but they haven't connected it to a core desire, where their core desire might be freedom. Now, logically, they've said, money will give me freedom. But in their body, money and sales and having to do all that work actually takes them away from freedom. And so they're like constantly battling themselves in their body and in their mind, right? Instead of like finding a way to connect that core desire to wealth and to money and to creating wealth. And so that's, and it seems like the same thing to some people, but energetically it's very different.
Oh, that is actually a really good example, is money stories and incongruency around money, because people do, especially at the beginning of the year, they set financial goals. I mean, we even do it as a part of our regular practice in business, is that we have like our forecasting. And so you've got your first quarter forecast, like, what are we going to do? How much money are we going to make? And so, and then even personal goals, people are like, oh, we want to get there. You know, we want to get that vacation. We want to have the dream house. And so what are our financial goals? And yet if you don't really, yes, connect it to what is the core desire that is then creating that want to have the money come in to support that desire, then it can be, yes, blah, it's like sabotaging,
yes,
the other. And especially around, I see the example that you gave actually is something I've observed a lot with women and men that have had an experience, especially growing up in a family where maybe there was money, but it took one or both of the parents away from this person as a child. And so money equated, no, you know, lack of family connection, working all the time. And then, you know, well, daddy's at work, mom is at work. And just this messaging that, well, the only way you can have that kind of money is to not be connected with your family, yes, or to be working all the time, that you have no vacation and no freedom, right? And so if you don't really understand some of that patterning, what you really think about what it means to have money, and that'll be a whole nother podcast,
yes,
right?
Yes, we will next month, actually.
So tune in. But that's a great example of, if you're not really clear about desire mapping is what that would be, right? Really desire mapping. So if you start with all of these ideas, or your vision board, or your, you know, bucket list, let's map that back to core desire. What is the desire that is driving that? And that would mean looking at, what is the body experiencing? What sensations are showing up? What images are showing up as you start to connect to that?
So like, I can 100% relate to that story you told. Like, that is the message I received, is that if you don't want to be with your family, then you can work and really create money, but you can't have both. You can't, yeah, have both. And so it's a sacrifice. And there's, you know, there's all these messages. And it's so interesting because, you know, the world teaches us these messages, right? And in my experience, what's so fascinating is that it is really easy for people who've had easy money, right? They've had easy money in their life. Maybe their parents had, you know, had a windfall. Maybe they got it the easy way. Like, their parents were around and there was just more money, you know, around, and it was really easy. It's very easy for them to continue to create money because they're established in this like kind of idea. Oh, well, money's easy to create, right? I was taught that money's easy to create. That's all my patterning. But for anyone where money wasn't easy to create, or the family had to work really hard for it, or the family lost it and gained it, that was some of my experience as well. You know, it's like, one second you have money, one second you have nothing. You know, in those experiences, it's very challenging to create money because those are the foundations that you're working with. What money means, what wealth means, what work means. These are all the definitions that we haven't really explored, and they're getting in the way of our vision. They're getting in the way unconsciously of what we say we want to create. But connecting back into that rooted desire shifts the energy and changes our ability to create.
Yes, yes. And that's the key, that by rooting into the desire, it can shift the way that you see. Your perception will shift because you're rooted in that core desire, which is at its, you know, it's fundamental. And, you know, I'm not great with math theory, but it's like, you got to have, you know, the prime, you got to just bring everything down to the prime. And that's what I think core desire is your prime. It can't break down any further. And that is where you source from to ask, where is this going to take me from here? Where does this take me? What's the next step that then would be in alignment with that desire? And then what is the next step? And that is something that I try to teach my clients as well, is that be patient and let desire, what you just said earlier, unfold. And it's okay if it's not clear right away. When you are starting this exploration, you might get a little frustrated and you might think, I can't find it. But it's just a little, like the first journey is spend a little more time in the body feeling energy, feeling when energy is really heightened and feels open and expansive. And when energy is constricted, that usually means you're out of alignment. That's not coming from a core desire. And so just learning kind of baby steps on just what does desire feel like in my body, you know, and start there with that.
Yeah.
That question.
100%. And that's a great place to start. And we'll continue to talk about this topic throughout the month. So I think it's a good place to end for today as well. So thank you everyone for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to The Feminine Lens. If you're a woman in business and tired of trying to operate through the traditional patriarchal lens, check out my group program. You get the chance to apply these podcast topics to your life and business. You'll find coaching, support, and new perspectives on how to grow your business with more alignment and freedom. You'll be surrounded by amazing women and transform the way you feel about your value, your voice, and the gift you are bringing to the world. Just head over to SonjaStatman.com. All right, see you next week.